Y'all ready?
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Bishop Daniel Harley, the resident pastor of Christ Our Hope Cathedral, Peter Mansfield, and overseer of the KZN Council of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley is a son of Bishop Dag Heward Mills, the founder and bishop of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley has a strong passion for missions and evangelism and has preached the gospel over many years. Join us now for a life-changing experience.
Let us pray. Father, thanks a million for this blessed time in your presence. We pray in the name of Jesus that these 3 days will be 3 days of a mighty visitation from you. Lord, pass through this place, pass through this church, pass through this city, pass through this land, and leave something remarkable in our lives. Let us be blessed from your word. Break the yoke of the devil upon our lives in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. Minister to every single one of us here present. Your will, your purpose, your power, your word, and your presence in the name of Jesus. All glory, all honor belongs to you alone in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen.
Amen. Wow.
Hallelujah. After these 3 days, your life will not be the same again. I said, after these 3 days, your life will not be the same again. Wow. Wonderful, you may be seated in the presence of God. Wow. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you tonight. And a special welcome to all of you to Higham. ...2024. I know God has something special for every one of us. Amen. I'm just a curtain raiser. As you can see, the lineup for Bafana Bafana is very strong. And I'm here to raise the curtain tonight. Amen. And I know that God has something special for all of us. Before I preach, I just want to acknowledge the presence of my pastor friend, Pastor John, who's here with us. He likes to sneak in and sneak out, but some way, somehow, I have a way of picking him up. No matter how he tries to sneak in. Yeah, but Pastor John, it's good to have you around. God bless you for your love, your support, your encouragement. You know, it's a blessing. Amen. And we appreciate it. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, I just want to share something I believe God has laid on my heart for all of us. And I know that if God has laid it on my heart, then it will be very beneficial to us all. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Revelation 22. I want to start our discussion from there. Revelation 22. I want to start our discussion from there. The Bible says that, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. May healing come to you tonight. Okay. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Now, heaven, and what heaven will be like. Because God caught him in a trance and showed him what the end will be like and what heaven will be like. So he tells us a few things about heaven. And he says that in heaven, he saw a river. Verse 1, he saw a river clear as crystal, okay? And the Lamb was there, And the throne of God was there. What else do we see there? On every side of the river was, on either side of the river, was the tree of life. The tree of life that God had to cover from the Garden of Eden so that Adam does not go and eat it, so that sin lives forever. The tree had been restored in heaven. Amen. And he saw a tree, and this tree yielded 12 kinds of fruit. Have you seen a tree that has apple, banana, watermelon, coke, everything on one tree? 12 types of fruit, but it was there in heaven. Number two, he said this tree, it bore its fruit every month. I don't know trees that bear fruit monthly. Heaven will be a wonderful place. But it bore its fruit every month. And even the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. When we go to heaven, we will not be sick anymore. So he describes many things that happen. But one of the main things we want to look at is what he says here in verse 3. He says, and there shall be no more curse. And there shall be no more curse. Now, in the Garden of Eden, when God created man, the main thing that made a big difference is the presence of a curse that came in. Man was having a holiday in the Garden of Eden until a curse came up. Until what came up? A curse. So when God was restoring the Garden of Eden, the main thing he was restoring is making sure that a curse doesn't prevail there. What has changed mankind is sin coming into the world and sin introducing a curse into the world. All the hardships, all the difficulties we are going through in this life is because of the presence of a curse or the presence of curses. Until the introduction of sin and a curse, the world was a cool place to be. Adam was in the garden. He was chilling. Even the animals were not biting him. Mosquitoes respected Adam. Animals were not biting Adam. Can you imagine? Adam will be with the lion, and the lion will not eat up Adam. Do you get? And look, until you see a lion face to face, you don't know what a lion is. Yeah, one day I was somewhere. Whilst I'm telling you this, I've been attacked by a fox before. I just want you to know in advance. By a fox. Bishop, where do you go that you meet foxes? I have been attacked by a fox before, I'm telling you. Not a dog, a fox. Yeah, but I'm talking about a lion. One day, I took my children to a game reserve with some other church members. And we were watching lions. As we were watching the lions, there were four lions, I remember. Simba and his brothers. Mufasa, Star, or Scar? Sar. Scar, yeah. Scar, and then who else? One of them. Now, they were sitting there quietly. We were watching them taking pictures and everything. Then suddenly, something wonderful and unbelievable happened. Suddenly, I saw from the corner of my eye white people running away. When I saw white people running away, I grabbed my wife and I said, come on, let's run away. It doesn't matter what is coming. If white people are running away, your best bet is to run away. Because white people don't run from danger. So if white people are running, that's why you don't hear that a shark has eaten a black man. We don't go where sharks are. It's white people who go there. That's why the sharks eat them. Yeah. So when I saw white people running away, I held my wife, I said, Masambe, and then away. Somebody's asking, what about their children? Their children, they can take care of themselves. If their life, look, whatever it is, we can have other children. Yeah, so I just grabbed my wife and I waved. Later, when we turned around, guess what?
The lions had decided to attack us. Look, when you see the face, you become scared. Yeah. So like I'm saying, Adam was living with the lions. They were not attacking him until a curse came into the garden. Curses change life so much that it will be in our interest to navigate away from curses. So even God setting a new world, he made sure that in that world, there will be no curse. That's what I said. And there was no more curse. So today, just for the short time that I have, I want to share with you how to break curses over your life. How to break curses over your life. Amen. What is a curse? A curse is an evil prediction or a negative prediction against your life or against something. Generally speaking, a curse is a negative prediction, an evil prediction against somebody or against something. Let's look in the Bible. In the Bible, we see many examples of accursed things or people who have been cursed, which gives us an idea what a curse is. Number one, A curse is an appeal to a supernatural power to inflict evil, mystery, harm, misery, harm, trouble, and even death on somebody. Look, you can't write all these notes, and I'm not going to wait for you. It's an appeal to a supernatural power to inflict evil, misery, harm, trouble, and even death on somebody. That's a curse. So in the Bible, Balak appealed to Balaam to curse Israel. Let me read it to you. Numbers 23 is against Israel. Neither is there any enchantment against him. That's scripture we quote all the time. The reason why that scripture came was because Balak had asked Balaam to curse Israel. So it says in verse 7, and he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab had brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. Then he said, how shall I curse whom the Lord has not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? So, look, Balaam was asked to curse Israel. Look, a supernatural power can be asked to do something evil to you. That's a curse. And what is it doing? What makes it? It's to inflict harm, misery. Misery. So, this tells you the characteristics of curses. Harm, misery, evil, and even death. Yeah, that's why we need to break every curse over our lives. So anything causing you harm, anything causing you misery, anything causing you any type, even leading to your death, may it be broken over your life in the name of Jesus. May it be broken over your life in the name of Jesus. Listen, one of the ways to break curses over your life is to say amen. Amen. So you don't say amen and be sitting there. Can I get another amen? Amen? Number two, a curse is any express wish that some form of adversity or misfortune will befall or attach itself to somebody. It's any expressed wish that some form of adversity, which is trouble or misfortune. Your car has been stolen. May your car never be stolen in the name of Jesus. To befall somebody or attach itself to somebody. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of a craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall say,
amen. No, this is not the amen to say. Ah. It's like it's a wish, an express wish, that something evil, adversity, misfortune will befall you. Any adversity, any misfortune planned by the devil against you will not prosper in the name of Jesus. To be cursed is to be sentenced to demotion and inferiority. To be cursed. You see somebody is under a curse when he's sentenced to demotion and inferiority. Genesis chapter number 3, I'm reading verse number 14. The Bible says that, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done these things, cursed art thou above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of your life." The Lord cursed the snake. He said, you will be demoted. You will go on your belly. You will always be on the ground. And you will eat the ground. You will go low. That's a curse. So when you see somebody who is continually going low, in spite of anything they do, it's possible a curse is moving around somewhere. A curse is moving around like a taxi driver. Any curse moving around you like a taxi driver or a taxi is broken in the name of Jesus. Yeah, demotion. God demoted. It means that until Genesis 3:14, the snake was high. It had legs. It could move. Because God will not, if it was on the ground, God will not tell it to go to the ground. From that day, the snake lost. Maybe it was standing up tall like that and moving. But from that day, God cares that you will go on your belly. That's the only way you can move. Go on your belly. Not only will you go on your belly, but you will eat dust. You will eat dust. You will never be under a curse after tonight. Number 4. I'm giving you 10 of them quickly and then we shoot up. To be cursed is to have continual sorrow. To have continuous sorrow. To be cursed means to have continuous sorrow. Verse 17 of this scripture. Generally, we are now looking at the curse of Adam. Okay. It says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Curse is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life." How many of you realize we eat every day? So God said, because you eat every day, you have sorrow every day. That's a curse. That's a curse. You meet a girl, she cries every day. It's not normal. What type of broken heart do you have that you there, you cry every day? It's not normal. Any abnormal sorrow in your life is broken today in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Abnormal sorrow. Look, no matter what they do, the sorrow cannot go. We give you a pacifier, it won't go. We give you milk, it won't go. We give you pap, it won't go. Even if you have a baby, the baby is crying. If babies cry, why do babies cry? Mothers, quickly, quickly, quickly. They are hungry. They feel dirty. They want to change. They are tired. They want to sleep. Or they are not feeling well. So, the first one is what? They are hungry. You give them food. He's still crying. Then the second one is what? You change them, bath them, put powder, Johnson and Johnson on them. They are still crying. The third one is which one? They want to sleep. You put them to sleep. They won't sleep. The fourth one is which one? They are not feeling well. You give them Panadol. They are still crying. That's unusual. For a mother, that's unusual. That's unusual. So any unusual sorrow that you have, may God take it away from you. In the name of Jesus. Number 5. To be cursed is to continually have everything working against you. Continuously, everything is working against you.
Everything is working against you. Relationship is working against you. Job is working against you. Home is working against you. Everything around you is working against you. That's a curse. That's why we are here to break it. Yeah, we are here to break it. Genesis 3, it says, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. It's like you are digging the ground. Instead of it bringing you fruit, it's bringing thorns and thistles. One business you are starting, every day nothing is working. Government is working against you. Municipality is working against you. Your business partners are working. Everything is working against you. Hey! No. It's ending today. I said it's ending today. It's ending today. Number 6. To be cursed is to sweat, to struggle, and to be agitated, and to suffer. You are sweating. You are struggling. You are always agitated. You are always suffering. It's like, as for you, your BP never goes down. May it be far from you in the name of Jesus. It's like you are in, every day you are anxious. You are breathing oxygen like oxygen is running out on this world. Only you. Like you are always agitated. To be agitated is like you are always anxious. It's like you are always on the edge. Hey. You are always on the edge, like somebody who has gone to stake a bet. Lotto, somebody who's into Lotto. You are always on the, checking the numbers. Hey. Hollywood bet, that are my chance. It's like, okay. Always struggling. Blood pressure is high. Will he propose to me? Will he not propose to me? Will he propose to me? Will he not propose? Is he proposing? Will he not propose? Has he proposed? Hey! Number seven. To be cursed is to be continually frustrated, unhappy, and to receive the opposite of what you deserve after all your hard work. Genesis chapter 4. The last one I read is Genesis chapter 3, 17 to 19. Genesis chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 9. It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Look, I've learned that anytime you ask a question, you give an answer, you start explaining, it's more likely your answer is not true. Yeah, yeah. Like when you ask a question, either before you answer, you start to explain, or as soon as you answer, you are explaining, it's more likely your answer is not true, or it's not 100% true. Because if it's true, you don't need an explanation. Where were you? I was in church. There's no, because there was load shedding. You don't have to explain I was in church. Where were you? I was in church. But when the lady was singing, then the other song that she sang in the first, at the beginning, towards the end, when she was about to finish, when she started, then, it's likely it's not true. So God asked Abel a question. This is the scripture. He said, where is your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I the one who's supposed to keep him? If you don't know, you don't know. It's finished. You don't have to explain why you don't know. You don't have to explain why you don't know. If you don't know, you don't know. But because if you don't know, when he said he doesn't know, actually he knew that he needed to explain that why are you looking for him from me? Yeah, justify why he shouldn't be asked such a question. Let's go on. That's just by the way. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Next verse. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive the blood, thy brother's blood, from thy hands. Look at the next verse. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. He says, when you till the ground, when you work the ground, not that you are lazy sleeping at home, but you are busy working. When you work, it will not give you what it's supposed to give you. Anytime you are working something, it's not giving you what it's supposed to give you. It's likely that a curse is moving around somewhere. Next one. To be a curse is to be a vagabond, a fugitive, and always on the run. We read the scripture right now. To be a fugitive, a vagabond, always on the run. Number next one. Once you have written, then we can now start the message properly. Yeah. To be accursed is to never be established, a fugitive, a vagabond, and always on the run. To be cursed is to be made a servant of servants. This is the curse that Noah put on Ham, on Ham's son. He says, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be. You don't want to be under a curse. I say you don't want to be under a curse. May you be free from every curse in the name of Jesus. Now, why do curses come to pass? Why do curses come to pass? Or what makes a curse happen? When the Bible has said in Lamentations 3:37 that who is he that saith a thing and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Now, very simple. A curse comes to pass when there is a cause. Proverbs 26. This is why curses happen. It says, as snow in summer. How many of you see snow in summer? And as harvest, as rain in harvest, so is honor seemly for a fool. So it's fools who don't honor. That's just by the way. Yeah, when you see somebody arguing about honor and all those, you are dealing with a fool. It's like expect when you see a fool and you talk about honor, it's like expecting snow in the summer. Yeah, that's actually what it is. That's actually what it is. If a church we don't honor, we qualify, we just enter verse 1 of 26. But that's not where we are going. We are just passing through. So let's go to verse 2. It says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so a curse causeless shall not come to pass. A curse without a cause shall not come to pass. If I was a Nigerian, I would say that so a cause causeless shall not come. A cause without a cause shall not come to pass. So when there's no cause for a curse doesn't come to pass. So when you see a curse happening, there is a reason. A cause is a reason. There is a reason. There is what? A reason. You must do something to qualify for a curse. No, it's not like you are just passing, then the curse is following you. No. I mean, a lot of people have cursed me, it has still not happened by the grace of God because I've not done anything to them. Yeah, I've not done anything to them. But when there's a cause, when there's a reason, then a curse comes. The primary reason for a curse is disobedience. Disobedience to God. There are other reasons like wickedness, we'll look at them, but the primary one is disobedience. Deuteronomy 28 or Deuteronomy 27, any of them you want first, we'll give it to you. We have enough. Let's do 28, then we'll come to 27. Deuteronomy 28, I'm reading verse 15, says, and it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and observe to do all these commandments, his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake you. It says, if we will not obey God, if thou would not hearken, which is listen intelligently to the commandments that God is giving you today, and you won't do them, then these curses will come upon you and they will overtake you. It means you can't outrun them. You can't outrun them. They will overtake you and they will capture you. So the primary reason why curses come is disobedience. It's disobedience. Any group of people who fail to obey God, they qualify for. That's the first cause of a cause. Disobedience to God's instructions. May we begin to walk in obedience to avoid and navigate our way through the curses. That's the first cause. Disobedience. And sometimes we just want to walk in disobedience. Any authority, disobedience to God, disobedience to authority. That's the unfortunate thing for Christians. Disobedience to authority, disobedience to anybody who's accountable for you. It's like I just want. Sometimes it's even like there's no reason. Like the disobedience doesn't help us. Or obeying doesn't cost us anything. But it's just in us. We want to do otherwise. We want to be froward, not toward. There are two types of people. Those who are toward, it means they flow towards you. And those who are froward, they flow away from you. We just want to be froward. It's like, I should take my phone and tap. And I say, Bishop, it is done. Never. I saw that. I'll do it tomorrow. If I do it today, he will feel very good. So I'll do it tomorrow. Look, I've already drank Coca-Cola. I don't need your message to feel good. Coca-Cola is enough to make me feel good. Yeah. Next verse. But we are moving out of disobedience. I said we are moving out of disobedience. Because one of also the primary ways that blessings come is walking in obedience. Yeah, primary way, walking in obedience. It says, curse shall thou be in the city, curse shall thou be in the field. I don't think I need to explain some of these things, should I? Yeah. It will make us well. Curse shall be thy basket. So it's like a series of curses begin to unfold because of disobedience. Deuteronomy 27, these ones, we know them because we see them during, even these 28 curses there, it goes even to blindness, it's too much. 27. Sometimes we don't think of these things because we think it doesn't apply to us. Deuteronomy 27, I'm reading from 15. It says, curses, I'm reading from NLT, it says, curses anyone who carves or casts an idol and secretly set it up. Of course, I don't see anybody, any idol worshiper here with an idol is sitting in front of your house. I used to live in a place where I come from originally. Every house, Makaya, every house has a horn. Different horns in front of the house. Yeah, at the gate, you meet the horn before you find the person. I see you have started to look side and side because you know that there's one in your house. But it says, even those who have it secretly, some of you have secret things on your waist, secret things you have drunk. Look, let today mark the end of those things. Yeah. There's a chain. You see, we can't lift up your shirt to see what is there, but it's there. We call it what? Waist what? Waist what? Waist beads. Yeah. Safety belt, protection order. Yeah, different things. A ring, a bracelet, something. Leather bracelet. Be afraid of leather bracelets. Next verse. You see, well, it's a curse is anyone who dishonors father or mother. That's another group. Dishonor father or mother. Need I say any more? This is why the curses must be broken over our lives. Because sometimes you can sit there and say, oh, Christ has delivered us from the... Christ has delivered us not from all the curses. No, no, I'll explain to you if I get a chance tomorrow. The curses that Christ has delivered us from. Yeah. Yeah. It would have been nice if salvation delivered us from all the curses. But the curse of Adam, that in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, Christ has not delivered us from it. You, if you don't sweat and see if you will eat, just don't sweat and be shouting in the name of Jesus, and see if you will eat. Next one. I want to finish this one quickly so we could go for it. It says, curse is anyone who steals property from his neighbor by moving the boundary of the marker. You do business with people, you cheat them, you are doing tricks. You have moved your neighbor. This is our boundary. When your neighbor is not looking, you move the boundary this way so that your land is bigger and his land is smaller. Say mercy. Mercy. It's like you have to share. Look, 7 people went to share 7,000. One person, they didn't get some. And they shared it equally. Yeah. You share something with somebody. You and your brother, the meal is there. By the time your brother comes, you have taken part of the meal to join your meal. And his meal is smaller. I taught my children from when they were young, when there's anything to share, one person divides it. Then the person who didn't divide it, chooses first. Simple. So no matter what calculation you use, whether you use calculus, you use trigonometry, you divide it. When you finish, you leave it there. Then I come and choose. Yeah. It will force you to divide it equally to the best of your ability. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have shared 4 pieces of meat with your little brother and he gets only 1. Hey! Let's go. Curse is anyone who leads the blind person astray on a road.
Hey, Pastor, but me, I only know only one blind person. His name is Stevie Wonder. I never lead any blind person astray.
Look, a blind man represents somebody who doesn't know the way, who cannot find the way. Yeah. Then instead of helping them to find the way, you further lead them astray. All she asked you was, where is the library? That's all. She doesn't know the library. The next thing she found through you is the nightclub. Yeah, that's the next thing. So, oh, please, where is C32? By the time you finish showing her C32, she's 1 abortion away. Yeah. A little girl who has just come to university, 17 years old, 18 years old, what does he know? What does he know? Even the university is too big for them. Everything looks mixed up. In the name of, I'm coming to help you. 1 shot.
Let me not go on. Today is this.
Cursed is anyone that denies justice to a foreigner, an orphan, and widows.
For security reasons, I'll go on the stage.
3 groups of people that don't have anybody to help them. Foreigners, orphans, and widows. A widow, the husband would have... A widow is a woman who has widowed. Is that not so? The husband would have helped him, but the husband is not there. You'd say, I'll deny you justice. And often, the parents would have helped the child, but the parents are not there. And a foreigner, his family and his relatives would have helped him, and they are not there. Oh, I'm a Zai Zai. 22. Curse is anyone who has sexual intercourse with sister, whether she be a daughter of his father or his mother. And the people shall say amen. Is that not so? 24. Curse is anyone who attacks a neighbor in secret. Let me read on. The last one is exciting. I want to get there. Curse is anyone who accepts payment to kill an innocent person. Then 26. It says, curse is anyone who does not affirm or obey the terms of these instructions. He said, anyone who doesn't say amen to what I'm saying is also cursed. Hey! Hey, Moses, No. Moses is wild, I'm telling you. He said, even the person who is sitting down and is not saying amen, it's like as I'm saying the things, he's arguing with me. It's like, oh, but why should God put a curse on this? Why should God? That person is also accursed. So these are things that introduce curses into our lives. That's why we must break the curses over our lives. Now, quickly, before we look at three ways to break the curses, what is the difference between a curse and a problem? Because you can easily live here thinking you are under a curse. Meanwhile, you just have a problem. Menstrual problem is not a curse. That, oh, it's continuous. I'm under continuous. Did I read the one that a curse is something that with pain? Yeah. So continuous pain. It comes regular, continuous and regular pain. It means menstrual period is not a... I don't want you to go mistaking a problem for a curse. When somebody is under a curse, there are three main things that show. Let's go back, 27 or 28. Let's find the one in 28. 37. It says, now in 28 also, there are a lot of curses. The curses will frighten us. We can't go home today. Okay, so let's assume that the curses are moving around so that we can deal with it. It says, 37, and thou shalt become an astonishment. Somebody who's cursed becomes an astonishment, a proverb and a byword amongst the nations. He says that you become 28:37. And you will become an object of horror, a ridicule, and mockery amongst the nation. It says when people see the, when somebody's under a curse, anytime you hear the story, the only thing you can say is you? How did this happen? What type of bizarre story is this? I remember a lady, she was going to get married. On the wedding day, she came. She was at the church. The husband will come. The husband, they didn't come. Then, 6 months later, they reorganized everything. Wedding is coming on again. They were there. As they were there for the wedding, and this time the guy came. When the guy was there, suddenly a woman and two children came from the back. And came to the front. Leonard, what is this that you are doing? Hey, the whole wedding was collapsed. Then the lady left the church. Of course, after such a drama, it's very dangerous. It's very difficult. So she left. Then later she went abroad. Then came back. When she came back, they said she had gotten married. She came back, she was around. We have been waiting for the husband up to today. Husband has not come. Aha. Uh-huh. Like when you hear the story, you become puzzled. The husband was coming. Up to today, the husband has not come. Prophet told us of a guy he treated at the hospital who had a broken leg. His leg had gotten broken. Then he came to the hospital. It was fixed. Then the next week, he fell down again, the same spot, and it got broken. So they assume that, okay, maybe the treatment, he wasn't fully healed. You know, those of you who watch football, sometimes players return from injury too soon, and then they play immediately, then they get injured again. Those of you who don't watch football, it's like, look, it happens like that. We are telling you, believe us. So it was something like that. Then now he was treated properly, everything. Now he was well, went through physio, everything. They discharged, the day they discharged him, the transport that came to pick him as he was going, the transport had an accident and he broke that same knee. When you look at it, all you can say is, yo. It's like an octopus. When you hold this leg, then there's this and that. You can't understand. You have finished school 7 years, 8 years. You alone, you can't find a job. It's an astonishment. If you pick and pay, you can't find pick and pay. It's an astonishment. It's an amazement. Then he says, you become a proverb. A proverb is something that has happened that we used to advise people. Yeah, a bad experience that we used to advise people. Yeah. We used to advise people. Good example, Robert Mugabe, when he became president of Zimbabwe, was the most educated president in the world until he died. Did you know that? His Excellency, the late Robert Mugabe, he was the most educated president in the... Of course, if you went to school in Ghana, you will be one of the most educated people around. Yeah. But this most educated person, look, at a point when you say, when you want to talk about bad president, instead of saying the words bad president, you just say Mugabe. Please, my Zimbabwean brothers, no hard feelings. I'm just... Yeah. That's a proverb. So when we are advising you, you're going to be president like, I mean, these people who are trying to tell you, don't be like Mugabe. Or don't be like Mobutu. You remember the other guy? Mobutu, Sese Seko, Kuku Bengu, Wasabanga, that guy. Look, the guy was at a point, he was richer than the whole of Congo. He, the president, individual, he was richer than the whole of Congo. Yes, his income was higher than the gross domestic product of the country. Yeah. Then the next one is that you become a byword, which is a ridicule, a mockery. Something that we used to laugh. Remember Zim dollar. We say you are going to buy a loaf of bread. Then you put Zim dollars in a wheelbarrow, a trolley. Then you take the whole wheelbarrow to my friend. Then my friend will give you 2 slices of bread for your wheelbarrow of money. Do you remember? Yeah. That's why at a point we say it's giving Zimbabwe. Yeah. What did you think that thing mean? Joe is giving Zimbabwe. That's what it means. It's like it has Zimbabwe vibes. Yeah. Who was Zimbabwe? Look, Harare used to be the place to be. Yeah. 20, 30 years ago, Harare used to, if it, say you get married, say you are going on honeymoon, Harare is the place to go to. Harare, Nairobi, these were the places to go to. Today, if somebody tells you he's going to Harare, you begin to look at the person. You start to laugh in Zulu. It's like he said, may you never become a byword. May you never become a ridicule. May you never become a proverb. May you, look. One of the ways I can show you what a proverb is a good example of a bad example. It's like, this girl is a good example. If you are looking for a perfect example for a bad girl, this is the girl. It's like the blueprint, the mask, the prototype, the blueprint of a bad girl. This way, you cannot give any better example than that. That's a proverb. May it never be you in the name of Jesus. May you always be a good example in the name of Jesus. Now, how do you break curses over your life? Number one, I just give you three. We pray and we close for tonight. Number one, you can stop a curse in your life through sacrifice. By sacrifice. Number one, sacrifice stops a curse. For example, Jesus sacrificed his life for us to stop the curse of death and hell. God decided to take mankind to hell because mankind disobeyed him. Yeah. And the only way to break that curse is by Jesus laying down his life for us, making that ultimate sacrifice. Yeah. Christ died for us so that you and I can escape hell. Yeah. So we can escape going to hell. Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. So the death of Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice to set you and I free from that curse, that the soul that sinned shall die. That when you sin, the wages of sin is death. That's that reward, that thing. Christ had to die so that you and I can be free. To break that curse over our lives. Yeah, to break that curse over our lives. So one day we'll step into heaven because Jesus made a great sacrifice. He made a great sacrifice for us. That's why we'll step into heaven. That's why we'll step into heaven. Jesus made a great sacrifice for you and I to escape this particular case of going to hell. That's why we can walk confidently around with all our frailties, all our mistakes, everything. Walk confidently around because Christ has made that sacrifice to stop that curse. And once you are born again, that redemption applies in your life. Revelations, I read a scripture. Revelation 7, I read from verse 9. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, all kindred, all people, all tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and up unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, blessings and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these things? What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? So the angel asked him, who are these people? And I said unto him, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell amongst them. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. If you look at the last verse, he's describing harshness, what a curse produces. Hunger, thirst, heat, sun, burning, all this harshness. He said, they've been delivered from it. How have they been? They've been redeemed by the blood that Jesus shed on the earth. They escaped the curse of death. The curse of the second death is broken because Jesus sacrificed for us. Why don't we put our hands together for Jesus? Noah made a sacrifice that brought the end to the curse. Yeah, Noah also made a sacrifice. Sacrifice brings an end to curses. After the flood of Noah, Noah made a sacrifice. Genesis 8, 20 says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on that altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." What made God say that I will not curse the earth again? Noah's sacrifice. Because Noah made a sacrifice, God decided I will not curse the earth again. Anytime we sacrifice, we gain God's attention. Unfortunately, today's Christian doesn't want Christianity to cost him anything. My Christianity should not even cost me bus fare to church. If you don't fetch me, I won't come. It shouldn't even, I won't even transport myself to church. Recently, I was at church on a Thursday or something, and my church member said to me that Nasfas is not coming, is delaying. It does. I said, "Let us pray. Father, open the door in heaven." Not Father or Father. When you pray these prayers, you have to be careful how you call God. Father, open a door for these guys. Let the Nasfas come. It was Thursday. Nasfas came. Friday, Nasfas came. I said, "Glory be to God." Sunday, we were going to church. On our way, they'll call us. "Hey, Pastor Prince, I'm ready." I said, "Tell them to request and come." "Hey, Pastor, please, we are ready. We are God. Request and come. We are request and come. Request and come." They were shocked. Every single person who called, requested. One person, when we said request and come, he requested. Then he called on the way. He's asking if we are there to pay. We said, "Who's going to pay?" "You are going to pay." Are we the people sitting in the? We've also requested and we have come. We didn't ask you to pay. Request and come. Tell your neighbor, request and come. I mean, your Christianity doesn't cost you anything. So when they came, I told them, "Shame on you. Now that you have Nasfas, you can't even request for yourself once. Once, at least, even the day of the Nasfas. Request for yourself and come." There are people who don't want their Christianity. They don't want to sacrifice anything. My Christianity shouldn't cost me anything. It shouldn't cost me money. It shouldn't cost me time. It shouldn't cost me effort. It shouldn't cost me sleep. Nothing. Yeah. Christianity is a jolly ride. Meanwhile, Christianity is born out of sacrifice. We have this Christian faith because Jesus sacrificed his life. Jesus sacrificed. The father of the faith, this faith is called the faith of Abraham. He bore this faith by sacrifice. God asked him for the ultimate sacrifice. Sacrifice your son who you love. So come and do chisanyama with your son here to show that you love me. Yeah. Can you imagine all of Abraham's Christian walk with God? He had been waiting to get a son, the only reward. One day he even got angry with God. He said, "I've been serving you. You have not given me a son. And this son of Eliezer of Damascus is going to inherit all my things that I have." God said, "Don't worry. I will provide for you. Don't worry." Eventually, God provides him with a son. I'm sure he's playing with the son. Tula baba, tula. Tula baba. Then God said, "Hey, sacrifice this tula for me now." Yeah.
Abraham woke up the next day. He called that son Isaac, said, "We are going on a journey." Isaac said, "Where are we going?" I said, "I will show you as we are going." Then they went on a journey. Say, "Hey, what are we going to do?" "We are going to make a sacrifice." "Okay, carry the wood." He was carrying, going. Then at a point, Isaac added two and two together and realized that something is not adding up here. So he said, "Daddy, Daddy, I see that you said we are going to do a sacrifice, right?" Daddy said, "Yes." "When we are doing a sacrifice, I see that we need firewood. That's what I'm carrying." He said, "Yes." "I see you are holding a knife." He said, "Yes." "But something is not, Daddy, is that all?" He said, "Yes." So he gathered confidence at him and said, "So where is the animal that we are going to sacrifice?" His father said, "Look, God will provide the animal we are going to sacrifice." Yeah. You will lie right now. You start to tell lies right now. But they got to the mountain. They put the sticks. He said, "Isaac, make the fire." Isaac has made the fire. Then Abraham said, "Isaac, hold this rope for me. Hold it hard. Tie it on your hand. I'm coming." Then he ties it. Then Abraham starts to go around Isaac. Isaac thinks that Abraham is praying. Because, I mean, think about it. Isaac is strong at that time. Abraham is old, 100 years plus. I mean, if they have to wrestle, Abraham doesn't stand a chance. But he starts to go around him. Go around him. Go around him. Go around him. Go around. Then suddenly he pulls it. Shoo! Isaac is bound. And he carries Isaac, puts him ready to sacrifice him. So God was chatting with some angels. Then suddenly he looked at his and said, "Hey, that guy is going to kill his son. He's going to kill his son." Look, somebody said the reason why God didn't allow Abraham to kill his son was that Abraham would have become equal to God, because he would have sacrificed his son, and God was also going to sacrifice his son. So God had to stop Abraham. Yeah. Yeah. So that he is the only one who sacrificed his only begotten son. But when he made the move, God said, "You have confirmed to me that you love me. There's nothing you won't sacrifice for me. Take your son, go away." Yeah, take your son, go away. One question that you ask yourself, how was the relationship with Isaac and Abraham? I'm sure after everything, Isaac will be looking at Abraham and say, "Daddy, what just happened?" Anytime he sees Abraham in the house taking a knife, he will become steady. This guy, he's tried it before. Yeah. And I'm wondering when they got home what Sarah said. That's why from that place, Sarah is not mentioned in the Bible again until she dies. Yeah, until the next time you hear of Sarah, she's dead. Abraham is going to bury her. Nothing again. Yeah. We don't know. We can only imagine. Sacrifice breaks a curse. What is the curse that is lingering around your life? Sacrifice, sacrifice something for. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice some money. Sacrifice something to the Lord. Some of you can't even free your calendar. You can't even free your calendar to do something for God. You can't even free your calendar. So the convention is for 3 days. Why can't we do it in one day? You can't even free your calendar. Yeah. You can't free your calendar for God. It's serious. I mean, I want to serve God to the end. Meanwhile, you are cramming on every side. How are you going to serve God? Who are you deceiving, you or me? The right English is you or I, but you or me. Who are you deceiving? You can't even make time for God. A little sacrifice for God. A little sacrifice to go for follow-up. You can't make it. Hey! A little sacrifice of comfort. Comfort. You know comfort.
Yeah, it's somebody's name. Comfort.
Is that what you go and follow up? Please come and pick me. I can't walk.
No, well, you work for a lot of foolish things. You work for things that don't matter. A lot of things. You will request and go to Durban. You won't request from Scottsville to come to church. Request to go to Durban to go and swim, though you can't swim, but you won't request to come to church. From today, begin to sacrifice something for God. It will break curses over your life. Yeah. Number two. Redemption brings an end to a curse. Redemption brings an end to a curse. Redemption brings an end to a curse. I told you earlier on, when there's a curse, when a curse is in place, it means there is a reason. There's a legitimate reason why the curse is there. So for you to be free from the curse, you have to be redeemed from the curse. You have to be redeemed from the curse to be free from it. Galatians 3:13 tells, Christ has redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. Now, to redeem is to pay for something. So let's say like somebody is gone to court. A judge has pronounced a sentence over the person. It means there's a legitimate reason why a sentence has been pronounced over the person. Look, no amount of prayer will bring the person out unless the laws of the land back that thing. Yeah, unless the law, including a pardon, which is also in the law. Those of you who are law students, I'm sure you've learned this by now. Pardon is also part of, unless that is applied. But you can't just go and say, look, I lay my hand. One day I went to visit my church member in prison. I wanted to say, come out. Even I wanted to touch my church member. They put a glass between me and the church member. Thick glass, bulletproof glass. Yeah. I couldn't take my church member out. With all my faith, all my anointing, all my grace, I couldn't prophesy him out. Because the laws of the land were keeping him there. So, for you to be free, somebody has to pay for the reason for which the curse is in operation. So, like Jesus, he gave his life to redeem ours, to buy back our life. To buy back our life. To buy back our life. I mean, let's say there's a crime, somebody has gone to jail for it. Another person cannot go to jail for it. It's like the person has gone to jail for you. So the person has paid the sentence for you. That's actually what redemption is. Jesus paid the price for us so that we, although we have not paid anything, we can be free. We can be free. We can be free. So that we can be redeemed. Sometimes the things that have brought a curse, let's say, like I was telling you that what Jesus, the curse Jesus has delivered us from, it doesn't include the curse that the girl you broke her heart last year cursed you. It doesn't include that curse. Oh. No, it doesn't include that. It doesn't include the curse that has come from maybe somebody you have wronged and the person has pronounced a curse from you. It doesn't, there's a curse. So if you want to make it right, redemption is going back to make amends with the person. Yeah. A friend of mine, he told me, my big sister, she was having an argument with the mother. Then in the argument, she went to the mother. She was angry and she went to the mother. Then she held the mother's wig. She held the mother's wig and she pulled it out. I mean, this is not a, anyway, let's go. She pulled it out and she slapped her mother with the wig. Yeah, brothers, don't be, it can come out. It's detachable. It's their hair, but it's detachable. It's their hair because they bought it. When she hit her mother with the wig, the mother started to cry. Then she cried. When she finished crying, she looked at her daughter and she said, you will sell beans. That's all. And she got up and she went to her room. This girl was in law school at the time. She said what? You will sell beans. Then she went to her room. This girl finished law school, did her articles, called to the bar, started to practice as a lawyer. It's like, where is there you will sell beans? No problem. Then there was an issue at work. Long story short, she got disbarred. Her license was taken from her. And once your license is taken from you, you can't practice anymore. You can't even read law articles anymore. Yeah, like if you're a doctor and your license is taken from you, if somebody is eating, they start bleeding, walk away. Because anything you do that is medical, you'll be arrested. They took her license. Like you can do it. You can become a taxi driver. You can become a traffic cop. You can do any other. But anything that has to do with law, you are out. So here comes Madam Lawyer. Back to normal. Today, as I talk to you, I met the guy in, what do you call that place? Uganda. He said to me, today, as I'm talking to you, she is selling beans. I don't mean she has a restaurant, she's selling. She said, like, you come, like the way people sell amakwenya outside. Yes, she's using all her legal intelligence to sell beans. And the sad situation right now is that the mother has died. No redemption. You are here, you have wronged anybody. You have done something, the person has cursed you. Redemption is what will break that thing over your life. It's high time you humble yourself and go to the person and say, I am sorry, let's let it pass. But she also said this, then I, no problem. The mother said what? You will sell. You are here, you have dishonored your mother, you have disrespected your mother. Look, after today, call your mother and make peace. Even your mother, because she's your mother, she has forgiven you, but call her and say sorry. Call her and say, Mommy, you know something? I don't even remember the things I've done, but I know I've done a lot of things. I just called you to say, I'm sorry for anything I've done against you. Please forgive me. If it's your father, call. So he didn't look after me. Then the day he came, then I just told him my peace of mind. Hey, relax. Relax. You'd have been better off not saying anything. Yeah. Redemption. Go and make amends. Go and make peace. Yeah, go and make peace. You did business with the person. Then by the time we realize all the money has come to your side and all the debt has gone to his side, I mean, by some magical means, you better go and make peace. Yeah, go and make peace. You don't know how. When I went to first high school, first year, boarding school, I had a guy. We decided to keep our food together. I'm closing. We decided to keep our food together. Like, we have our food, so we decided to put it together. Because we learned that if you don't manage your food well, you will be in the middle of the term, then you have no food. I mean, don't look at me strangely. You get your pay at the end of the month. By 10th of the next month, you can't find the pay. Is that not you? And you are an adult. Me, I was a small boy, 11-year-old, 12-year-old boy. My mother is expecting me to manage my food for 3 months. What a difficult assignment to give to a 12-year-old. When I open a biscuit, it must finish. The only stop I know is when it is finished. Yeah, and we go to boarding school very early. It's almost like our parents didn't want us, so the earlier we send you away, the better. Yeah, 8 years of boarding school. Charlie! 8 years they are sending you to boarding school. 7 years you are gone. Hey. So this guy, I started to keep my food with him. Then, when we started, we decided, okay, we'll eat this. So we imagine, after about 6 weeks or a month into it, he said he has decided that he won't keep his food with me again. He won't keep his food with me again. He wants to keep his food by himself. I said, okay, that wasn't a problem. I said, okay, no problem. So now we have to share the food. When we came to share the food, he came, he said, oh, this one is for him. This one is for him. Do you know the method he was using? He was using what he brought from home. Hitherto, we have been eating what I brought. Most of the things, like let's say we have biscuits. Maybe I brought Marie biscuit and he brought, what are that biscuit? Eat some more. Do you get it? But we decided to eat Marie in the beginning. So he took the eat some more. He said he brought it from home. By the time he finished, I was standing there watching him. By the time he finished sharing the food, all the food has gone to his side. I'm just left with what we call gari and sugar. That's all I had left. Because we had eaten my food. And he said everything was for him. And I said, oh, brother, how can it be when you are... So where is my food that you have eaten? He said, oh, no. So he would take that. Are you the one who brought this? When I say no, so it's for me. Are you the one who brought this? When I say, hey. Yeah. At a point, I realized that he won't understand. So I said, okay, it's okay. I said, it's okay, let's separate. Let's separate. And then we said, this is like how Lot and Abraham separated. And then we said, I remember that story up to, of course, I didn't curse him. He's still my friend today. Sometimes I remind him about it and I laugh at him. One day he told me, Charlie, we were very foolish at that time. Because in his mind, that's how far his wisdom could go. I brought it, so it's for me. Forgetting that in the past month, we've been eating your food. Yeah, and it happens a lot. There are even wilder cases. I was telling them on Sunday, two guys who were keeping their food together. And they put the nice food in one box and they put the not so the everyday food, pap and things, in one box. And then they put two padlocks on the nice one. You have one key, I have one key, so no one person can enter joint account. Two signatories. So as they were keeping the food, not knowing, one person has gone to make a spare key of the second padlock. You wait. And the second guy, he has also opened the under of the box. So he, when he comes, he doesn't need a key. He just leaves the top of the box and all the food is standing there. And then he takes what he wants, then he will put it on it. So every single day they open the box, they can see that something is going down. But you can't complain and say that something is going down, because the question is, how did you know? And we were sitting at back, we knew what was going on, and we'd just be sitting there, we'd be laughing. We'd be saying, one day they would discover what has happened. Yeah, they were both cheating on each other. So that's what happened to me. You may have done business with somebody and then out of even ignorance, you realize that you have cheated the person. Go and make amends. Yeah, somebody was owing me some money, some repairs the person was going to do. And then the person sent me more than they are supposed to send me. More than they owe for it. I said to Pastor Lungani, let's fix the problem. Whatever is left, let's give it back to the person. It's not our money. It's not our money. He made a mistake. And he has not even noticed that he has made a mistake. He has not asked me up to today. I said, let's finish fixing the thing. Maybe as we are fixing the thing, different things will come about. Once we are done, whatever is left, we go back to you and say, look, you paid more than you were supposed to pay. Take. Someone will say, oh, God has blessed me with his left hand. May those things stop in your life from today in the name of Jesus. Number three, I give you this third one and there we go. The third thing that breaks a curse is the anointing. It's the anointing. is the anointing. Is the anointing. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the burden, the curse, shall be broken or taken away from off thy shoulder, and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. What is the burden on our necks? It's the curses of this world. It's the curses that came from the Garden of Eden going on when sin was introduced. That changed the whole world. From that time, it has been a yoke on us up till today. But the Bible, Isaiah tells us that the anointing takes the burden, that thing that has yoked you. You see, a curse is like something that has attached itself to you. No matter what you do, it has attached itself to you. You can't break free. You can't break free from it. You do this, it doesn't work. You do this, it doesn't work. You do this. So it's like it's hooked on your neck and it's pulling you along. But it says when the anointing comes, it will break it and release it from your neck. In the name of Jesus. How does the anointing release the curse from your neck? One, it releases it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. By the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, getting a curse is because of a certain pattern of life. And when the Holy Spirit is leading you, you live your life in such a way that you don't attract a curse. When Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were just going to follow the way all the other nations were living. You know, Israel was becoming a nation all over again. And God gave them an instruction. He said, obey my commandments and then these blessings will come over. And you will be different from the nations. Deuteronomy 28:1. He said, hearken diligently unto the Lord your God and follow these commandments. Then these blessings will come upon you and you will be different from all the nations. Israel was going to become a curse like all the nations around them. But God gave them, listen to my voice. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Be led by my voice and follow my instructions. You will have a certain type of life which navigates you away from curses. No wonder the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So one of the ways the anointing gets you away from curses is to guide you to live in the way God wants you to live. Then you navigate your way from curses. And you move away from curses. Yeah. Then you move away from curses. You don't live in such a way that it brings a curse. You don't meddle in the things. Like we said, don't dishonor your mother and your father. You don't dishonor your mother and your father. Because as for your mother and father, by all means, you see, there's a stage that you reach. When you reach that stage, you are almost like you are an adult. And you feel that nobody should tell you what to do. Nobody should tell you what to do. And it's at that time that your parents' instructions become a nuisance. Because when our children are little, they don't disobey us. I mean, they don't try to do, apart from the normal naughtiness that everybody comes with. They don't disobey us. It's when you feel that I have a right to do what I like. I'm an adult, but I can make my own. That's where the temptation begins. Yes, I'm an adolescent. When you are an adolescent, you are not yet an adult. You are just a child with the scent of an adult. That's what you are. Yeah, you are still a child with the scent of an adult, which means there are issues. You see, there are like small adult traces about you, but you are not an adult. But that's where you feel you can tell your mother. Your mother said, oh, no, but who does she think she is? Who is this? Then the curses come. But when you are led by the Spirit of God, you see that even when you don't agree, you have a respectful way of going about it. Yeah. Recently, there was some issue. Then my sister called me and said, talk to your mother. I said, hey. Now she didn't have a bad mind. What she was saying, that's for you. Your mother listens to you. Anything you say, your mother does it. So you do you understand? I mean, you are like your mother's favorite child. So you, if you tell her, then she will I said, I'll pray about it. No. I'll pray about it. I went to kneel down by my bed and I prayed. The next day, my mother sent me a message. She said, oh, she realized that the way she handled this thing, she wasn't happy with it. I said, that's it. God has delivered me from a problem. Yeah. So more English you can speak that your mother can't really speak hers well. It's like when she speaks, hers doesn't add up well. Then you want to correct her. It's like now you are in the big time. No, mellow. The Holy Spirit humbles you so that you know how to navigate your way. May the Holy Spirit help you to navigate your way from any curse that is in the way trying to trap you. Yeah, trying to trap you from a curse. Look, Church of God, if we can carefully allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, even in our relationships, in the things we do, so that we can guide ourselves to follow God's commandments and God's instructions, to live in a way that we don't attract these curses, our lives will be better off. Frustration will be taken away from our lives. Pain will be taken away from our lives. Continuous sorrow will be taken away. Continuous tears will be taken away from our lives because we'll be free from a curse. May God set you free from any curse that is haunting you in the name of Jesus. Yeah, may we be free. Tonight, I want us to pray as we close that, Lord, have mercy on us. Any way that we have faulted you and defaulted, for which a curse has come upon, what a hardship has been introduced into our lives, set us free. Have mercy on us and set us free from it. Have mercy on us. And I've seen so many hardened lives that you wonder what is wrong. You look at the life, you wonder, how can this person struggle? I mean, we all struggle, but I was telling them on Sunday that I have a guy I went to school with. And he makes nonsense of advising your children to study, because I don't know anybody who studies more than him. Neither do I know anybody who fails more than him. Yeah. It's a wonder the boy can study and the boy can fail. Look, his father is very rich. His father is one of the millionaires that we know. Owns a poplar, they make salt in Ghana. Yeah. One day, one of my mates said that, no, it's possible that the father has used him for muti. Hey! Because you cannot explain it. Boy can study and boy can fail. I said, boy can study and boy can fail. Hey! And I'm sure they were keeping him in the school because of the sponsorship of his father. Oh, yes. No, boy can study. Look, boy, we used to have, before we wrote matric, we used to have two shifts in the school for studying that we used to call night school and day school. So those who study during the day and they sleep in the night, and those who sleep in the day and study throughout the night. So we knew each other. If you know, and we always advise you, please find your group, because if you don't find your group, you will see those who study in the day playing in the night, and then you go and play. Then you see in the morning, you still see some people playing. So you think everybody is playing, and you go. Those who are playing in the morning, they've studied throughout the night. This boy used to study day, then he'll study night, study day, and then he'll fail day and fail night. Look, he can be arguing with the teacher over one mark, which will take him from 26 to 27. Yeah. It's a wonder. I know a girl. I tell you this story, we pray and we close. I've known this girl for maybe 4 years or something. 4 or 5 years. In a space of 18 months, she has had about 4 broken hearts.
Hey, Pastor, I don't like what to do. I won't enter a relationship again. Oh, then cry.
In the middle of the crying, she will ask you, Pastor, what do you think about John?
Hey, I thought we were crying.
Then John will come. Two have been chatting with Peter. And he seems to be, and I think this is the one. Look, in a shock. So I told her, look, it's just off. It's just like you see 3/4. Because we have used every element we know, every bonding element we know. We can't bond it anymore. My frustration of your life be broken in the name of Jesus. That is what a curse is. But tonight is being broken by the power of the Holy Ghost. Stand to your feet, begin to cry to God right now and say, every frustration over my life, every curse over my life, every pain, every continual sorrow over my life is broken today by the mercies of God and by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Begin to pray right now. Begin to cry to God right now for your life. For your life. The Lord, deliver, 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 deliver. Have mercy for the things that I have caused that have brought this frustration my way. Break it, break it, break it, break it, break it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. 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 By the power of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for joining us. We believe you have been blessed by this life-transforming message by Bishop Daniel Harley. For more information, contact us at 204 Peter Kirchhoff Street, Pietermaritzburg, or call 083-773-1605. God richly bless you.